vampires, you know, just can't get enough. Just those vampire books.
Oh yeah, but this one I'm excited to talk about because we're talking more traditional vampire lore. No one's sparkling.
This is just sparkling. Sorry, it was just really weird. I was looking at our books together, and yes. It looks like I read a book and a half.
Maybe I read the cliff notes.
Probably not. No, your writing's just really tiny. Oh, boy. I mean, you know, my very expensive Barnes & Noble classic version. Yours is the bargain classic?
Yeah, mine was the bargain. I bought mine for, like, $2.
Oh, crap. Mine was $6.95.
You paid for the more book.
I got the rest of it. You only got the first half of the book.
It's going to be very confusing when we talk about the ending and I end off with like, oh yeah, and then Dracula wins.
And that's it.
And that's the end.
I paid for the real ending. Well, we are reading Dracula.
Welcome back to Drunk Post Society.
Oh, it's been a minute. Okay.
Yes, it has.
This week, month. 5 weeks, I don't know, however long it's been. We've been reading Dracula by Bram Stoker, because apparently there are lots of Draculas.
Yeah.
That it always has to be, like, labeled in movies and stuff as Bram Stoker's Dracula. Like, yeah. Is there different Draculas?
Well, I mean, I guess there was just a lot of controversy over that. I have a little note about it if we want to jump in
right
there.
Question.
Because I want to know a little bit more about Bram Stoker, and mm-hmm. so... the first film adaptation of Dracula was in 1922, and there was, like, a lot of controversy over that, so Bram Stoker's wife was, because they didn't pay for any rights from Dracula, the book, to do the movie, mm-hmm. and so she ended up going to court about it, and, like, you know, I want my husband's name on it, or I want, like, compensation.
Was he deceased at the time?
He was deceased at this point, so that's why she was fighting for it.
Got it.
And so she was, like, no one ever asked for permission for the adaptation and didn't pay any royalties. So after a lot of years of, you know, working the case and stuff, it was resolved in her favor, and a single print of the... So the first film adaptation was Nosferatu. Mm. And so... she won, and they were like, no, you have to get rid of it. Like, Nosferatu cannot exist anymore. But, of course, there was still a copy somewhere, and people have now seen Nosferatu, and it's around and stuff like that. But now, since that legal battle, that's why, like, whenever you see Bram Stoker's Dracula, it's not that there's different Draculas. It's just for adaptations, I guess, of that origin story. They won the right to whatever. But he really didn't make much money off this, like, in his life, because I guess it went kind of straight into public domain. Like, so, yeah.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I've read a bunch of old classic books, like monstery ones. Like, I've read Frankenstein, and this has been sitting on my bookshelf. I don't know if it, like, my husband got it in a college class or something. I don't think that I was the one who bought it, but I was always like, oh, yeah, I'll read it. It's fine. At some point in time, I'll do it.
Yeah.
It wasn't as laborious as I thought it was going to be. Like, for whatever reason, I thought that it was going to be like some of the classes, like Our Struggle with Emma. Just like, okay, all right. This was written in, it takes place in the late 19th century. He wrote it in the early 20th century, right? Wasn't it published, like, in the 20th century? Oh, well, this book says 2018.
Mine was
has the original.
Maybe we read very different books. What if I read, like, Dracula, the 2018
version?
Okay,
1897 published.
Okay, there you go.
Okay. Yes. Oh, this book is from...
No, mine says 1897.
Okay, well, that's not on the publisher page, though. But that's splitting hairs. That's semantics. We don't need to do that. Well, we can talk about a drink.
Yes.
And why we chose that beverage and such.
Well, I texted you, like, pretty much, I think it's chapter one or something like that. So this book, I both read and listened to parts.
Me too.
Mainly for time reasons.
A British man with really great accents read it to me.
Yeah. And so I read it, but I was reading the first chapter, and they kept mentioning, like, Slovaks, and they kept mentioning, and when he's riding in his cab, like, they were talking about Schlebovitz, and I was like, I texted you, and I was like, I got our drink, because this is a big deal in our family. I am 50% Slovak, my mom's 100% Slovak, and, you know, we love all the, like, food, the pierogies, and the, like, all that stuff, but I remember it was a couple Christmases ago, and somehow it became a Christmas tradition that we started taking shots of Schlebovitz. And Schlievowitz is a plum brandy, and it's very strong, and it's just, it really it knocks everything out of your sinuses. And I don't know how it became tradition in our household, but then, and so the bottle that I brought over is the same bottle. Like, that's the only time we drink it. It's not something we're sipping on, like, throughout the year.
It smells
It's potent.
Yeah.
That's the drink anyways. That's why I chose it, because it just makes me laugh and it makes me think of my mom. And it's called Schlievowitz, and you just do it like a shot, and it was supposed to warm yourself up. And we have a cheers to go with it. My mom taught me a cheers. So do you have anything to cheers to?
To using cordial glasses that sit in your cabinet forever.
Love it. Nastravia.
Nastravia. Are we just shooting this or are we sipping it?
I'm going to sip it.
Oh, okay.
Oof. Never mind. I saw something I'm sipping.
Those are two... I didn't like both things about it. I didn't like a syrupy... like cough medicine?
You know what? Nostravia. All right, this is not one we're sipping on throughout the episode.
I don't think my kombucha will help that. Oh my goodness.
I feel warm.
That is foul.
Well, you know what else is foul? The undead.
Drinking blood? It could be worse.
Yeah, we could be drinking blood.
We could be drinking blood.
And there definitely could have been cooler cocktails to, like, make up with this, but just...
This is worse than, like... It tastes like Ambisol.
But...
Schlievowitz, you guys.
I'm not reaching for that. I meant to reach for my water.
Your water.
Oh, 1 minute, please.
I've literally never used these glasses. I'm sure you've lived this life where your parents and your grandparents are like, look at these beautiful dishes. Here, take them. And you're like, oh, well, that's cool. I like that this belonged to you. But now, what do you drink? What do you drink?
Oh, see, we actually use those
types
of glasses.
Maybe like limoncello?
Limoncello, exactly. Yeah. So we do limoncello. You know that Pomp and Whimsy gin?
Oh,
that's
good, yeah.
You know, or like if you, anything that you would do, usually aperitifs probably.
Yeah.
But I would say limoncello is perfect for that glass.
That's true. Yeah.
And I do like some limoncello. We'll have to do that on the podcast.
I have some very special refined limoncello.
I can feel that all the way down.
Yep. I'm almost thinking, like, do I need to go grab those Trader Joe's stuffing potato chips that are sitting in my kitchen to absorb the Schlievowitz in my stomach? Okay.
You're welcome to if you need to.
So, Dracula, we read it.
Yeah. I have a word of the day for you quickly before we jump into any.
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of novel this is? You might. I didn't. I looked it up.
Oh my God. Only because my friend Lyle was like, oh, well, of course, it's this kind of novel. Because it's told all throughout in letters and diary entries. Ugh, I don't remember the word.
Epistolary?
Yes,
epistolary.
That is correct.
It's an epistolary novel.
It is.
So, anyways, that's my word of the day.
Not bad. I think that's actually what kept me... super in it, and that's also what kept me wanting to listen to the audiobook, because I bet we listened to the same version.
Did you get it from
so much,
the library?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so much easier for me to follow while reading quickly, because I feel like with certain books like this, I'm like, okay, I just want to know.
Yeah.
It was easier for me to know whose perspective it was if I was listening to the audiobook, because he has little idiosyncrasies. Like, when he's Van Helsing, he's got, like, this great Dutch accent.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know if it's a great Dutch accent, but it was great to listen to. It didn't sound
or
like...
Or even his Dracula, when he's, trying... Because there's that whole scene with Jonathan, where he's, like, being like, oh, no, I need to practice my English.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and Jonathan's like, oh, your English is great. And he's like,
no, I don't want an accent.
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting. And just a little side note on that, it reminded me of, I have friends from all different countries and they have accents and English is their second language. And I used to do something, and this is just a hot tip for, if you know anyone where English is their second language, ask them if they want to be corrected, because I thought it was so cute. Like, I have a Belgian friend and she would always be like, on her lunch break, she'd be like, I'm going to go take a coffee. Like, instead of grab a coffee or buy a coffee, it would be take a coffee, because that's what it translates to. And I would never tell her because I thought it was so cute. And then she's like, why didn't you tell me that take a coffee is not proper? And I was like, oh, I liked it. And so, and she was like, no, I want you to correct me. Like, I want to speak proper English. And so that's kind of what this scene reminded me of.
Yeah. I have never thought about that. Now, I'm going to keep that in mind, too. Huh. Interesting. Well, Yeah, so I thought that listening to it, that was really helpful because you could keep track. Because it's definitely different. The only time it was kind of challenging is at the very beginning where you've got the letters between Lucy and Mina.
Mm-hmm.
Just because his girl voice is pretty universal. It's
the same girl voice.
It's the same girl voice. Yeah, it is. All in all, I mean, I guess we can go into synopsis. If everybody thinks of Dracula as synonymous with vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they go hand in hand. Maybe people think of him as, like, king of the vampires or the first vampire, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
He's pretty much all of that, I would say. I was surprised at how many pop culture things that have to do with vampires but not Dracula kind of, like, go back to this. Like, I watched all of Penny Dreadful,
mm-hmm.
and so many of these characters are in it, but not in the same way that they are in this book. So, like, that was kind of a cool observation.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I found interesting before we dive into the synopsis as well is that Dracula's actually not in it that much.
No.
You know, and that reminded me of, sorry, I'm making all these connections, mm-hmm. but as I was reading them, like, I wrote down, like, oh, this reminds me of, it reminds me of Beetlejuice, because mm-hmm. Beetlejuice is only on screen 17 minutes out of the entire movie, and the title of it is Beetlejuice, whereas, like, with Dracula, it's the same thing. You get the opening scenes, which is a great way to start it, because the book is Dracula, so, you know, your first few chapters are Jonathan and Dracula, and you're uncovering, and to be honest, when I was, because the beginning, I think I read most of it, I was like, how is there this much more in the book? Because, like, we've already gotten to the point where we're discovering Dracula's a vampire, and we're learning that he's mm-hmm. sleeping in coffins and climbing down sides of buildings, and I was just like, what else happens? Like,
I thought the exact same thing, and it was exactly that. It was when Jonathan watched him walk down the wall, and you're like,
yeah,
this is the third chapter. Yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah, so yeah, I just thought it was interesting, because then the rest of the book is a lot of correspondence,
mm-hmm.
A lot of back and forth between various characters, diary entries, and none of it, to be honest, I was not bored through any of it. I found all of it intriguing to some degree, and I have, like, my little faults with it, but, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, I mean, it, like I said, I was expecting it to be slightly arduous and laborious to get through, and it wasn't. I was still interested the whole time. The only thing that kind of, I liked the fact that Lucy's transition panned out over time. I thought that was a cool alternative to what you normally see with vampire transmissions.
Like transformations.
There you go.
Yeah.
In pop culture, in pretty much any iteration.
Yeah.
But that made it so much more apparent when you noticed Mina getting tired. And you're like, And then it made me think, like, guys, you all stupid. you being dumb.
Yeah.
Why are you being dumb? I thought that Renfield was going to be in a lot more, too. I thought he was going to be way more pivotal.
That was interesting. Because they set up a lot of creepiness around him,
mm-hmm.
you know, eating flies and eating everything.
Feeding the flies to the spiders
yeah.
and feeding the spiders to the birds and eating the birds. Yeah.
And it's like, at the end of the day, he was just, you know, a weird person who let Dracula in at some point, you
mm-hmm.
know, and like, that was kind of his only plot point.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely thought he was going to be a bigger character as well.
So essentially, in a nutshell, the book is about is Jonathan a solicitor? Is that his job?
He was, like, kind of the in-between. Like, someone sent him to go speak to Dracula
about
purchasing
things.
Yeah, in London.
So he goes to Romania, and Dracula essentially is, like, imprisoned him. Like, you're gonna stay here for this time. And he's writing in a diary the whole time, and he's writing letters to people back home, his boss, his fiance, and so it goes back and forth between Jonathan's story and then all of the people that are at home, so his fiance and her, you know, best friend, and we get pulled in all of these really, really wonderful characters,
mm-hmm.
and essentially Jonathan escapes after seeing, like, three other lady vampires, and he is treated for brain fever.
Yeah, brain fever.
And, which is, what, another word for, like, you be crazy, stop being crazy. And Mina goes to see him in Romania, and they come back home. So there's these dual plot lines between London and Romania, and essentially most of the book takes place in London.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because isn't that where Bram Stoker was living? He was, like, working for a playwright, I think, at some point in time.
I know he traveled a lot to, like, research for this book, but yeah, that was his base.
So we eventually find out that Mina's friend Lucy is being, like, she's just weak and weak and weak, and the doctor who, well, Lucy has many suitors.
Yeah, she has, like, three guys proposing to her in one day.
Yeah, and she, like, just picked one, but she's, like, writing letters to her friend all about it, like, oh my god, well, I let him kiss me. Like, you could just imagine if this was a modern retelling, and there'd be, like, texts going back and forth between people. I'm surprised
Except
they
it's
haven't
like
done
mail.
That yet. Yeah.
It's like snail mail. And snail. It's
but over time, Lucy starts getting really weak and tired, and I know that you and I both have huge problems with the blood transfusion
process. Oh my gosh,
that was
definitely one of my notes. Oh my gosh.
But they try and save Lucy, and ultimately they find that she has been turned. She's a vampire. So it's this whole, like, oh no, they can make more, and kind of fighting against Lucy and Dracula, and obviously we'll get into the end, because we always give spoilers, sorry, folks, but, you know.
Hopefully if you read these books.
I'd say that's the gist.
Yeah, that's the gist of it. While we're on the subject, blood transfusions. That's not how they were. Okay, listen, I know it's written in a time frame where,
I can't just, like, connect my arm to your arm and, like, give you my blood,
well,
and
the
that'll
thing
be
is,
totally fine.
Well, it definitely not totally fine. It can work in circumstances when you know blood types. Like, if that is, like, a last-ditch effort,
probably
totally.
Probably not the same blood type.
No. But they didn't know about blood types back then. So
I'm
going to give them the benefit of the doubt. But this would be a totally different story if, let's say, Dracula wasn't real, but she was still having, like, this whatever, and then she dies, and they're like, oh, it was because of a vampire. It was probably because it was just the wrong blood typing transfusion.
Your antibodies are just
and she's
it.
Dying. Like, maybe she didn't
three
have to die.
Different people.
Yeah.
Like, it's not
there's
like
no
a blood transfusion from the same person three times.
No way she's the universal receiver, and they all just happen to be universal donors.
Yeah,
so.
No, that's not a thing. No.
That frustrated me. I tried to, like, get past and just be like, it's fine, they didn't know better, whatever, but science. So that bothered me. Anywho.
Yeah, no, that was just a
one
little
of
upsetting.
My favorite, like, kind of side scenes, because this book is made up of different types of journal entries and different modes of, like, communication.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the captain's log.
Mm-hmm.
That was very interesting to me. And I ended up, I think, listening to most of that one in my car, and it was very creepy because you're seeing all these crew members die off and disappear for mysterious reasons, and then you have left the captain and one other person, and, like, that end scene, I rewound it. I, like, skipped backwards and, like, listened to it again.
Yeah.
And that was gripping to me, where I think it's probably the first mate, or at least one of the crew members, who were like, look, you have to get off this ship too, like, there's terrible things happening, and he's like, there's no way, we're going to die tonight, pretty much, and then he ends up jumping off the ship, and the captain's like, oh, he's probably the crazy person who killed all the other crew members. Then, like, the last line is essentially the captain realizes what is happening, and he's like, well, I'm going down with my ship, and then the unmanned ship pulls into harbor, and that's kind of, you know, how we figure out
how Dracula got there.
Yeah. That was a really interesting thing to me.
Also, okay, so there concepts that I really enjoyed were, okay, so we've got transfiguration going on here. So Dracula can turn into mist, he can turn into a bat, he can turn into a wolf, but only at sunrise and sunset, which is really pretty interesting. They didn't talk a whole lot about how they alluded to the fact that he can't be in the sun. Like, when Jonathan is at his castle at the beginning, everything happens at nighttime. And Jonathan at first is just like, oh, well, you
he's
know.
He's on a weird schedule.
This is kind of odd, and, like, he always has business, I guess, and I always eat alone. So that part, like, he is able to convince him that everything is fine. But they never really go straight out and say, like, he will die if he goes in the sun. At least not that I can remember. He can't transform, and it seems like that's when he sleeps, but they never said that that's something, like, he, an impossibility for him. But it also was interesting because it seems like that transitional part of the day is when lots of changes and things are happening for these vampiric creatures. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when Dr. Van Helsing can do all of his hypnosis on Mina to try and, like, see what her connection is with Dracula and what he's doing. I thought that was really interesting and cool.
That was interesting because Mina's a very interesting character. She tends to be more logical in scenes than many of the men.
Wait, are you saying that women can be logical?
I guess. I mean, I guess I'm admitting that.
How controversial of you, Taylor.
But, like, she, you know, she's the one where everyone's running around, like, doing all these crazy things, and she's like, let's think about it, you know?
Let's compile all of the evidence together. I'll friggin' type it out so we can be completely prepared.
She's also, like, super smart. She can write shorthand, I think, which after learning, so this was something, I semi-knew what shorthand was. But after reading it in this book, I actually looked up a YouTube video and someone was like teaching
shorthand. It's like shorthand. Symbols and stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I was like, I like the scene too where
that's what stenographers used to use. If you think like thoroughly modern Millie and like how she would take notes so fast.
There's a scene where Mina hands over her letters or maybe even her journal.
To Van Helsing.
And he's like, oh, I don't think I'll be able to read it.
And she's like, well, looky here, this typed version.
I like how she felt a little remorse, like, I'm being too showboaty here. You can, like, and I was just like, yeah, a woman would think that, whereas a guy would just be like, well.
She's like, oh, I should be more humble.
Yeah.
And they go back and forth a lot, too. So, ultimately, it ends up being this big old, like, this great team of Mina and her husband, Jonathan, Dr. Van Helsing, and Arthur, who is the doctor.
Yeah.
And Mr. Morris? Who is the cowboy?
Yeah.
Morris?
Right, but that might be
Madame Mina.
I'm so bad with names. Afraid. That's not why I write notes.
I don't remember his name.
Oh, I have it.
Simmons? Or is that the... Is that Lucy's...
Morris. Quincy
fiance?
Morris.
Quincy Morris. Okay.
There we go.
So, we've got the three dudes who are super into Lucy, the doctor, her fiancé who became a lord because his dad died, and the American... And Van Helsing, Jonathan, and Mina. So, big old team, five people. And it seems like the constant struggle for them was like, do we include her? Do we not include her? And at first they're like, no, we need to save her, her delicate sensibilities. Yeah. And then after, you know, she proves herself valuable, they're like, I don't know, we have to include her in everything. And then the moment she's like just a little weak because Dracula is friggin' drinking her blood.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that they're like, oh no, maybe we shouldn't include her again. Like, it's this big flip-floppy thing. So, you know, if you're Mina, you're like, you know what? Fine. Just wait. Whatever. I'll make your tea. You want some tea? I'll make you some tea.
And then you
tea.
Can use me for my, like, now psychic
abilities.
Or, like,
my connection with Dracula.
Yeah. It's like, I'm only useful to you when you need me type of thing. But she, she's the great. I liked Mina a lot.
Well, and I liked, too, that it seems like, yes, she was very femininely humble. I'm going to say that that's a term now. Like,
femininely humble.
But she did stand up for herself a few times when she needed to. Mm-hmm. You know, not very frequently. Very infrequently, to be clear. But she did stand up for herself, which I liked. I also really wanted to know Lucy more.
Yeah.
Just, I wish there was more Lucy because I wish there was more healthy Lucy. Because we get Lucy in letters to Mina, where she's, like, super giddy and excited, and all of these gentlemen are in love with her. So I feel like, you know, maybe in watching, like, Bram Stoker's Dracula, which maybe I'll do at this point now, maybe I'll see more of that. But, like, they describe her so vibrant and beautiful, and that's why it's such a contrast when she's so weak and then is a vampire, and they're like, oh, she looks evil and, like I said, doctoress. I wish I would have gotten a little bit more Lucy.
Yeah, because, you
got
really...
Got a lot of testosterone in this book.
Yeah.
It was written by a man in the late 19th century.
And really, you're two female, two main female characters. One dies, and then the other one,
And one dies and is, like, empowered and turned into this, like, prowess of a creature, and then is, like, completely, like, has her head severed from her body.
Yeah, that was also tough. So.
Cool. Only two female characters.
Yeah.
This is not a. I don't think it did. I was just
because
thinking
because all their correspondence
they
was about
talked
dudes.
About dudes. Mm. So Dracula does not pass the Bechdel test, folks.
What about the three like sister wives of Dracula?
I don't think they ever talked to each other.
That's true.
I think that they just
and were they
to
unnamed?
Jonathan. Yeah.
So then
they
definitely
no names. Definitely doesn't pass. Well. Bummer. Our next book.
Well, bummer, but pro, how would you like to hear this awesome sponsor of our podcast?
Oh, I would very much like to hear
this. Okay, thank you. Let's listen
podcast.
To it.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, sponsor. Okay, back to Dracula.
Yes. When we were talking about the problematic...
Oh, I one yes. Ladies. Also, one thing I liked because there was another lady in the book. It was Mom, who saw all the garlic that was lying across.
And was
Lucy.
Like, "Oh no, we need to take it off.
It smells so bad in here." Like, and removes all of the garlic from. That was
you know. It's probably her fault that Lucy's dead.
Yeah,
but it's also Lucy's fault that she's dead. So you know, it's nice and cyclical. So yes, our male heroes. I will call them, I suppose, were real stupid, but so was Mina, because the exact same thing was happening to Mina, and why did it take them, like, a week to notice?
Yeah. Like,
why?
Oh, this weird chain of events that we've already seen progress in one person is happening again, but we'll just, like...
Ignore it.
Yeah.
It's fine. And this is a group of, like, intelligent people. Like, we got... Two doctors. We have, I don't know what the American does. I don't remember. He goes hunting places. We have a lord. We have a solicitor who now owns his own business because his boss died. Everybody dies in England in the 1890s. Everybody dies.
Yeah.
We found that out in Devil in the White City. Everybody
yeah,
dies.
Everybody dies.
Yeah. So, lots of death. Lots of things.
But
they
yeah, it was just like, come
noticed.
On, guys. Like, pick up a little faster.
And it's like, it wasn't until, what was it? Oh, when they take the communion wafer and, like, put it on Mina's forehead and it, like, burns this red shape and, like, she's
they're
not
like,
marked.
Oh,
that's so weird.
And they're like, come on. You know what you're hunting now. Like, you know the beast. Like, you know what the monster looks like. You know what they do. Van Helsing definitely knows.
He knew from the beginning, which is why he had all that garlic and crap.
Yeah. So why, yeah.
They, you should have just been protecting Mina with garlic and stuff anyway. Because
we're
Renfield,
all of you guys.
Everybody. Renfield, clearly he doesn't want dudes. He used Renfield. He has his three little, like, three weird sisters.
Yeah.
Isn't that a band in Harry Potter also? The Weird Sisters?
Is it?
I think so. We'll find that out because we get to read Harry Potter next
yeah.
time. But we, I think his aim is a legion of ladies. It just seems like he uses dudes and kills them. Like, all the people on the boat, he drank their blood and they died.
Also very, yeah, very interesting.
Did he
the
drink
whole...
from Jonathan?
I don't
Did Jonathan escape before
I
he
think
drank
so.
From him?
I think so. But also just really interesting, the transformation, like, process is, like, he has to bite, but then you have to drink from him.
Mm-hmm. It seems like that's kind of universal.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, you know, in the very critically acclaimed True Blood...
Yes.
Books and film. It was definitely that kind of exchange. Like, here, has some of mine. I'm going to take some of yours, so you're depleted, and then you have to have mine. But this is just, like,
no, I know in
over
True Blood,
time.
That sounds right. But with Twilight, isn't it just like, hey, I can suck your blood, but I just can't suck all of it?
Yes. Like, they're... In Twilight, their fangs or their blood, something about it...
It's like venom.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what it is. Like, it infects them.
Gotcha.
So, if we fast forward in the Twilight universe, I know you didn't get this far. when Bella is really, really sick and ultimately, spoiler alert, gets turned into a vampire, they, like, straight up inject vampire blood into her heart because she's, like, so weak and gonna die and they're worried, like, she just is gonna die and she's not gonna be able to be a vampire. Yeah, it's legit.
Intense.
Don't read it. You don't need to.
Wow, I might just watch that movie or something, maybe.
I think it's a two-parter. I think they did a Harry Potter. I think they did a Breaking Dawn Part 1 and Part 2. Maybe there's only one movie.
There's probably two movies.
If you can make two movies, you're gonna
remember.
Make two movies.
I may have seen the second one. Anyways, I digress. I was just curious.
Yes, but the overtime thing, that seems new.
Yeah.
Normally it seems like it's just kind of like happens right away. It's
what, not the transformation?
Yeah, like over weeks.
That's true, weeks. Because like the only... yeah, I guess the longest length of the time, I'm trying to think back over like every vampiric thing that I've seen. Mm-hmm. And usually it's a couple days, I feel like.
Okay.
Right?
Where they like have to be trapped in the ground for a couple of days.
Well, because like in What We Do in the Shadows, of course, follows so strict to lore.
That was quite some time. Wasn't it? It was kind of the same thing, where it was over a little bit of time.
Well, it was definitely days. I wouldn't say it's weeks, though, because I think...
she started levitating in her bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
What's her name? Beanie Feldstein. Mm-hmm. Love her.
She's so good.
But yeah, that was... I think it's maybe just a couple days, though. So this might have been the longest, the time that it takes for a transformation to occur. So that was interesting.
It seems like maybe he was just trying not to get caught. I don't know. I also question, so when I was thinking about the whole, I almost said diurnal, that's not the right term, for like animals that are active at both dusk and dawn, but no other time. Diurnal just means they are up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try and remember what that vocabulary word is. But when I was thinking about that, I thought about how they got from London to Romania, and how like when he went to escape, they found Dracula, they found all of his little hidey holes and put in communion wafers to, like, sully the dirt. Also, like, big Dracula versus God kind of thing going mm-hmm. on in this book. Or, but thinking about how, like, okay, so he chose this water route so that way he wouldn't have to find somewhere to be during the daytime all the time. Mm-hmm. So he wouldn't have to hide out during the daytime. But it was pretty smart how the other, they split into, so the five of them split into, maybe there were six, am I wrong? Mina, Jonathan, Van Helsing, yeah, there are six, and then the three suitors. Okay, so they split in groups of two, and all kind of made their way to, essentially, like, Dracula's house.
Mm-hmm.
So that part was very well thought out as far as the writing is concerned. Like, all right, so he's taking this boat. And we think he's taking the boat. We're still not really sure, but we know that Mina can, like, see that he's near water.
Yeah.
All he hears is water. I don't know.
And, I mean, there's a lot of, like, kind of foreshadowing of that, like, going to the cliffs and, mm-hmm. you know, throughout the book, I think there's a lot of good, really good imagery used and a lot of, like, interesting foreshadowing that, like, now thinking back on it, I was like, oh, it like, really well written book, I think, overall. And I think that's why it kept me so engaged throughout. I was gonna bring up another part. I think it's interesting ultimately how you would react if in this universe vampires are real, and somewhat like the person you loved, because also it was like the three suitors of Lucy all then having to realize that she is no longer Lucy and having to like kill her so graphically.
I feel like this is a conversation that I've had with people about being, like, a zombie. Because it's the same kind of thing. Like, okay, if you are not you,
mm-hmm.
and you're just suddenly this parasite, essentially, that, like, needs other humans in order to live, would you keep that person alive? Probably not.
Have you ever seen Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah.
It reminds me of the end scene where, what's his name?
Nick Frost.
Is still a zombie and just keeps
just
in the back
video
playing video
games.
He's like,
shed.
No, you don't eat me. Mm-hmm. I was like, if that's how zombies are, I could probably have a couple friend zombies.
That's true. I can figure that out. I mean, I've watched all of iZombie, and there are functional zombies out in the world. So, like, maybe there are functional zombies in the
world.
And
we just don't even know it.
We probably don't even know it. I don't know about vampires, though. I have friends that wear lots of black, but they go out during the daytime.
Don't think that's the same.
I'm pretty sure they're alive.
So I just for sake of discussion, if because we get a lot, obviously there's nothing written by Dracula in this book. If Dracula had a first person account of this book, like let's flip it and it's like Dracula as told by Dracula,
I would love this so much.
What for, like, what medium do you think he would use? Because so far we had in the, like, phonographs, mm-hmm. and we had diary entries, we had captain's logs, we had communication via snail mail, and it could also, you can also switch and be, like, modern day, because he could be a million years old at this point, or...
I would love a Dracula YouTube channel. I would love it so much. He'd be like, son of a bitch, I think Jonathan is catching on. I don't know what to do.
He'd be a vlogger.
Please rate, review, and subscribe.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh my god. But probably it would just be like, dear diary. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Oh my gosh.
Dear diary. Dear diary. I'm just trying to think, like, if it was, like, modern day, I think
Although, would he show up on camera if he doesn't show up in a mirror?
Ooh.
Ooh, that'd be so fun to just have a YouTube channel and, like, just, a shadow.
Yeah, well, not only a shadow, but, like, as he's picking stuff, like,
papers.
Like, what if it's, like, oh, this is the book I'm reading, and it's just, like, a floating book. Ah, yes, my review is 5 stars.
And you just got, like, a silver chalice that just filled with, I don't know, some mysterious liquid.
Yeah. Like blood, but like what if his blood? But like what if he has blood and you see him drinking, but because he doesn't show up on camera, you just like see it. It'd be like the skeleton in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like this already.
Oh my god, I love it so much.
Anyone who does any kind of what is the word? I'm like CG effects and things like that. That'd be a really
like
fun.
A parody
just a mini
YouTube
series would be great. We're giving you
so
solid
good.
Gold ideas because I can't do that. So.
And we're not going to see you like Bram Stoker's wife. So
yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Just don't.
I mean, unless it's like really successful, and then maybe we will.
Yeah, be like, oh, we thought about this first. It's a date marked.
We have this. Yeah, we have the date marked.
Yeah.
Don't you worry. Yes. No, that sounds really, really great. You know how they have like. Coffee in cars with comedians or hot ones or something.
Yeah.
It would be so funny to have something like that with monsters.
Ooh.
Like, really funny.
Okay, so in this universe, like, we're...
This is a real universe.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. That would be fantastic. And
it'd be so
but it would be funny because if Dracula's the host and he's just invisible on every single one.
The Invisible Man also.
And then if it was like Dracula interviewing a zombie, they could and like they could do a hot ones interview with different hot sauces, but it's like fingers
brains versus blood. Oh my god.
I was just imagining like fingers.
Oh yeah. Yeah, zombies don't just eat brains probably. Zombies eat like all of you, right?
Yeah, because I mean like just because one part might be the most nutritious doesn't mean you don't eat everything.
That's very, very true. That's super, super
true. We're going down a real word.
I'm not mad at it. That was a great question. What do you think now that we brainstormed this?
Well, I'm
great.
Now I'm on board.
Great side
even,
hustle.
I don't even know what my answer would be anymore. I'm really onto this this idea. I think maybe.
What if he
maybe
was like
just
a rapper?
Oh,
and
that'd
just
be
like put everything in rhyme,
diss-tracks.
Like a poet.
Oh, I was thinking about like.
Oh, diss track. That was my diss
track. I also think maybe just like a WordPress. You know, he just has a blog.
Lynch the blog.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should probably drink Schlupowitz more often. We get very creative.
Yeah. Wow. You know, who would have thought? Maybe.
Who would have thought? Maybe it's more than a Christmas drink. It isn't. Don't do it.
It's not.
It's not. It's
once
not.
A year is plenty for me. I have another question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
In a fight between Dracula and Edward, who wins?
Okay. So, now I need specifics. So, first of all, is it just Edward or is it all of the Cullens?
Okay, well, so my first question was
okay,
in a fight between Dracula and Edward.
Dracula
wins?
And Edward, are there tools involved?
I mean, not. They don't come to the fight with tools, but they if they have super speed, then. Like, if does Dracula have super speed?
I don't know, but he could probably break this table and, like.
Yeah, they can do
that
okay. Then. He has strength. Edward has speed, though, so keep that into account.
Edward has special secret powers.
Yes, he can. But
can he read Dracula's mind?
Can he
are they different kinds of vampires? I think that if Edward is fighting another vampire, his skills are probably null, and Dracula is way older.
That's true.
I'm gonna say Dracula because it seems like as in the Twilight universe, and probably also in just about any vampiric universe, the longer you're alive, the stronger you are. Because like I've seen Johnny Depp's. What we do, Dark Shadows, all of these things. The older you are, it seems
and
like the stronger you are.
Stronger and also probably just wiser in terms of like, you know, how other vampires can react and stuff.
Yeah.
So you would have better, like, knowledge
I'm gonna say Dracula.
Interesting.
Dracula. Yeah.
I think
if it's the Sparkle Award, then Edward wins. Who is more sparkly?
Oh,
Edward.
Interesting though. We've just said we don't really know what happens to Dracula during the day.
Yeah. So it seems like they allude to him not being able to be in the sunlight.
Yes.
But they never explicitly said it.
Because Edward,
unless we're wrong.
So I'm gonna say yeah. Let us know if I missed that. But Edward can be in the sunlight. He just sparkles. So if they are in a fight and the sun is coming up,
Edward wins.
Edward wins.
Not necessarily true. Dracula can transform if the sun is coming up.
Then he can.
He
ditch.
Can be missed and just be like deuces. Bye.
It's true.
Okay. All very important debates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next question was going to be Dracula and his three ladies versus the Cullens.
They seemed ruthless.
Yeah. The ladies seem...
I'm scared of them.
So I feel like they would be very intimidating. But that being saying, Rosalind? Is that her name of the Cullens? She's pretty intimidating.
Rosalie.
Rosalind. Rosalie.
Yes. But then you got like... their dad and Carlisle just seems so like kind and stuff. Yeah. And I bet he can bring it.
And he's been alive for a minute too, so.
Yeah.
Or dead for a minute.
Yes. I don't know. I still think Dracula. I'm still going Dracula because the weird sisters, they freak me out.
I might go Cullens on this one.
Okay.
So let's just, for hypothetical reasons, place it at night so that way they don't have the Cullens don't have the advantage there.
Level playing field.
They have super speed, and I haven't heard Dracula have super speed. Like, he has other powers, but...
Alice has the advantage, too, because Alice can totally see what's going to happen.
A few seconds
ahead. So maybe the Cullens would win.
So I'm gonna say if it's the whole Cullen clan, they might be able to take down Dracula and the three ladies, the three twisted ladies. So, any other thoughts about Dracula? Those were my fun little questions.
I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Mm-hmm.
I only rolled my eyes about half a dozen times with the, oh, she's a lady, she can't do that. And it's like, I was expecting it to be there. Actually, I don't even know if I was expecting there to be any female characters, so I suppose that that's probably a benefit, that there are women in this book. And relatively strong women.
Yeah.
For their time.
What did you think about Van Helsing's character?
I thought Van Helsing, for a man of, and this is strictly my opinion,
mm-hmm.
for a man of science, he was so devout and was definitely like, God will save this, that is what is happening. Like, for someone who is a science professor and, like, is a doctor and all of these things, it just seemed a little less clinical
mm-hmm.
than I was expecting it to be, that's all. I liked his character. He definitely was the most... I don't know if I'm going to say this word right, placating of
mm-hmm.
Mina as a woman.
Yeah.
And being like, oh, Madame Mina, like, you don't need to, go rest.
Yeah.
Do the girl things. But he was also the oldest of them, so maybe that has something to do with it.
I felt like at times he was kind of droning on, like, he would just be, like, talking, and would kind of be, like, the same things after all. And it's not that I disliked his character, but, and maybe that was one of his character traits. He's older, he thinks he's the wisest, he thinks
mm-hmm.
he knows what's going on, and he's like, oh, no, you don't need to worry, because let me explain this entire thing to you. And he would have these long diatribes of, you know, what was going on.
And it wasn't even his journal most of
yeah.
the time. It was, like, Dr. Seward's journal, like, the phonograph of just recordings of him.
Because mm-hmm. Mina, at one point, she wanted to get better at writing everything down.
Yeah.
I was looking, I can't find it. There was, and to be honest, I can't even Google it because I don't remember. There was, towards the beginning, like, literally in the first couple chapters, just one line, and I'll put it on, like, Instagram or Twitter or something if I can find it. And it was just, it made me laugh. It was something toilet related. And it was just, I don't know if you remember this, but it stuck out. And I forgot to put a little note on it. But it was just, the way it was written was, like, a very polite way of saying, like, having to go to the toilet or something like that. And I'm going to have to look for it because it was a fantastic way of saying, and I wanted to start using it.
Oh, my God. All in all, the pros were, well, it's fiction. I'm going to say pros. The prose are really easy to read.
Yeah.
That's not always the case with older books, unless you're... I think it's just a time period. What is this considered? Are they still romantics in the 1890s? I think so.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
It's not Victorians anymore, and it's not 21st century. I think they're romantics, because I know that most of Oscar Wilde's works are considered romantic works, and Lord Byron and all those guys.
Gotcha.
Mary Shelley. I took Britlit a really, really long time ago. But, I don't know, I really did enjoy it, besides the eye-rolly bits and the things that are not scientifically accurate, but they didn't know that then, so it irritated me now, but
yeah,
what are you gonna do?
Should we rate?
I think so.
All right.
Do
you want to do, which one do you want to do today?
I'm gonna do the Schliebowitz. Okay. I'm gonna do our drink.
All right, then.
Which has no fun name.
I will figure out something to write the book out of.
Okay. I'm going to rate the Schliebowitz. Let's see. On enjoyment, I'm going to give it 0 out of 3 weird sisters.
Mm-hmm.
On potency, I'm going to give it 3 out of 3 sisters. And on will I consume it again, I'm going to give it a 1. I'm rating it in 3 sections.
That's great. So out of 3 weird sisters, I mean, you kind of nailed it with that one. I'm going to give it a enjoyability factor of 0,
mm-hmm.
Weird Sisters. I'm going to give it just something that makes me smile because it reminds me of my crazy family and, like, Christmas time. And for the factor of I only have to do it once a year, 3 Weird Sisters. So in terms of recommending this, I only recommend it to people who are reading Dracula, maybe if you're Slovak and are interested in trying a Slovak beverage, or if you just want to have a weird tradition like my family does, Schliebowitz.
I mean, it tastes like medicine and vodka together, but maybe you could mix it with something and it would be less terrible. It really is a shoot-only option. Like, that, as soon as you were like, yeah, let's sip it, and we both sipped it, and we're like, no.
See, originally my plan was like, yeah, let's just shoot it, but then when you're like, oh, are we going to sip it? I was like, I'll try it. No. Yes, you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to rate the book out of, I'm going to do it out of 8 blood types. So that goes for positive and negatives, you know,
mm-hmm.
A, B, and O. Just in case none of you knew out there, it's not one universal blood type, so you can't hook up to someone. And then there's even more, like, intricacies in it. Like, you know, if you've had given birth to a boy as a female, you could have antibodies in your blood, so you can't donate.
Weird.
Anywho.
If you've been a receiver of transfusions before, you can have interesting antibodies in your body that make it really hard to receive again.
Yeah. So, but I'm doing it out of 8.
Okay.
Out of 8, I'm going to give it 7 blood types.
7 blood types.
7 blood types. I'm going to leave off... I'm leaving off AB negative because they are just the hardest to donate
that's
for. So, sorry, AB negs, but I'm giving it 7. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed I would both listen to and read it again.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is probably one of my dad's favorite books. He read it many times, like in high school. And I can see why. It's one that I could see myself definitely rereading, and that's a big factor for me when it comes to recommending books. If I can reread it, I know that it's worth someone else reading.
I'm also going to give it a 7. I don't know who I'm gonna leave off. I'll think about that, because the AB Nakes need some love this time. But I can't believe that I haven't read it before. It seems like a staple for people who read classic books all the time. I'm glad that I did. I would recommend it. I know a lot of people probably could see it as intimidating. I mean, mine is thick.
Mine looks a lot less intimidating to buy my copy.
Yeah. As far as the vocabulary goes, like, it's really accessible. Even, I would say, I wouldn't give this to any of, like, my middle school students.
Yeah.
But, you know, high school, college, now, pick it up.
Also,
or listen to it. The audiobook is great.
Also, in comparison to, like, Jane Austen's, I think it's a very easy read, this one.
An appropriate factor, too. Like, they're so buttoned up about almost everything that there's, like, no foul language or nudity or anything where you have to be concerned about playing it for people who are younger or have more specific sensibilities. Yeah.
So, coming up, we have, continuing on our spooky October, occult October, spooktober, whatever we're calling it, is The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you've probably seen the Netflix show.
Yeah.
it's totally different.
It's not the same at all.
Yeah, so if you've only seen the show and are like, oh, I'll listen to this podcast, still do, definitely do. Please listen, but you will not understand.
You will not understand. You will be very confused because the names are all the same.
Yeah, names are the same, completely different.
Completely different story. So check that out. That's coming up next.
And then November, we definitely know one book.
Mm-hmm.
We're still figuring out the next one, but...
Yeah, in November, our first choice for a book we're doing is The Sorcerer's Stone or The Philosopher's Stone, depending upon what country you are reading these books in, by J.K. Rowling. It seems like a nice way. I don't know. I can't decide whether or not I think of Harry Potter as, like, holiday books, because they have Christmas in every single one.
Yeah.
Or if I think of them as, like, spooky, Halloween-y.
See, it falls in between. It's, like, fall. And I don't know why. Like, it's just, like, when you want to get cozied up with, like, a cup of tea and, or a cocktail and, and a book, like, Harry Potter's
a hot toddy. I just gave you both of those things.
Yeah.
Tea and cocktail. So that's what we're doing for sure. We're still working on our second book. If you have any suggestions, please hit us up at DPS_podcast on Instagram and Twitter.
You can always email us at drunkpoetsocietypodcast@gmail.com. And now, through the link in our bio on Instagram, if you go to anchor.fm/drunkpoetsociety, you can leave us voice messages.
They're the best.
Yes.
They brighten my day. I love it so much.
Yeah, we got our first one last episode on, was that 50 Shades?
I think so.
On our 50 Shades episode, you can listen to our first one. We have another one this week, so after we say bye to y'all, you're going to hear Sam Basher give us a nice little voice. Yeah. Which you can also listen to him on the Watchmen episode.
Yeah, so if you would like to be featured, here's the deal. If you tell us not to feature you, we won't do it. But if you really want to be featured on the podcast, go ahead and send us a voice message. And please send us all of your suggestions for booze and books all the time. Because
always,
there's never enough.
Always. Mm-hmm. And just remember, guys, that it is not drinking alone.
If you have a book.
See you next time.
Bye.
Well, hello. I just wanted to send a little voice memo. First time. I just wanted to say you guys are doing a great job. I appreciate all the content you guys put out there. Really appreciate it that you put out that Watchmen episode. Great guest. Lovely guest. Love the Good Omens one too. You got a lot of solid episodes out there. And if first time listener to this particular episode, well, you're in for a treat. Go check out the other episodes on me. All right, bye.